Dear listeners, welcome to the EdTech podcast. This week, Uvgeni Shadnev from Makers Academy. Interestingly, this episode of the EdTech podcast, recorded in May, reflects many of the post-Brexit concerns of the EdTech community. In it, I discuss the skills gap with Uvgeni Shadnev, the co-founder and CEO of coding camp Makers Academy. We talk about Lord Baker's report, The Digital Revolution, which flagged a potential 15 million jobs at risk of automation. Lord Baker's findings were largely in line with the EU Agenda for New Skills and Jobs as key part of its Europe 2020 strategy, with the German Vice-Chancellor and Economic Minister Sigmar Gabriel talking about education as essential for the success of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. All eyes will now be on funding to support innovation out of the skills gap crisis and where that funding will be directed. Even more interesting when in this podcast, London is cited as the leading tech hub, but in close competition with Berlin. If you like this week's podcast, please feel free to rate and review on iTunes or spread the word to your network. The podcast has three opportunities for short spoken word adverts per episode. Think Squarespace and MailChimp. And if you'd like to find out more, contact me at theedtechpodcast@gmail.com. I'm here in the beautiful offices of Makers Academy on Commercial Street with Uvgeni Shadnev.
Evgenia Shadnev.
Okay, thank you for helping me out there. Who is the co-founder and CEO of Makers Academy. Mm-hmm. So just to kick off, perhaps you can tell us in a nutshell what you do and what Makers Academy is as well.
Yes, sure. Makers Academy is a coding bootcamp. We help complete beginners to learn how to code and land their first job as software developers. And then we help companies to hire great junior talent.
And how long has Makers Academy been going and what's kind of changed during that time?
We are in our fourth year, so we celebrated our third anniversary just a couple of months ago. We've founded the company in early 2013. We saw a lot of changes in the 3 years. We started as in a really small, scrappy office by the Old Street roundabout with a class of just 9 people. Today, we've graduated almost 700 people. We improved our curriculum quite a bit. But most importantly, we helped hundreds of students to get amazing jobs in London, across the UK, and internationally.
And so my understanding is people that apply to Makers Academy, the idea is they pay a sum of money and they are sort of employer ready in terms of coding within 3 months. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. On top of this, we also have a 4-week pre-course before they start full time. So let's say it's 4 months, but 4 weeks are usually done part time in parallel while people are, let's say, about to quit their job.
Okay, and obviously coding is, mm-hmm. is hugely hot topic right now, and you know there's a real diversity of courses for those people that are interested to upskill into coding. So, for example, everything from Decoded to General Assembly to all of these other variety of online and in-person training. Makers Academy has sort of positioned itself at the sort of higher end in terms of cost. What's your thoughts on that particular setup and why it's right?
We differentiate ourselves first and foremost on employability. You're right, coding is a very hot topic and rightfully so. Every tech company is trying to hire developers and having the coding skill is immensely valuable. And we focus as much as possible on helping our graduates to get jobs. We screen our students very carefully and we don't stop working until they actually sign their first contract. So our work doesn't stop when they graduate. Our work stops when they start their jobs.
And so the argument is essentially that, I think, is it about £7,000 to do the complete course?
It's £8,000 on-site on our campus in London and £4,000 remotely online.
Yeah, but I suppose what I read online in some articles that you were in before mm-hmm. is that when you compare that to essentially what's £9,000 a year for three mm-hmm. years with a degree, mm-hmm. that you see Makers Academy as much more practical in terms of actually then going on to get a job and be recruited after the process.
Absolutely. And if you look into the stats, computer science graduates are, ironically, they find it more difficult to get jobs than graduates of many other departments.
Well, why do you think that is, though?
Computer science departments don't prepare software developers. There is a disconnect between what you learn at university if you're doing a computer science degree, and I've got two myself. I'm speaking from experience here, and there is disconnect between that and what technical companies want from software developers. Computer science and software development are not exactly the same thing, and so we focus on making sure our graduates get employable as soon as possible.
So that's really interesting, because at the moment there's obviously a big pushback now that government has decided at school level to focus more so on computer science. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that with regards to then the implications? You know, if the government's focus is supposed to be about STEM and remaining competitive internationally, versus say some of the Asian countries, is that focus on computer science, is that missing a trick somewhat?
It's not. You're talking about the introduction of these topics into the curriculum in schools.
More so that in recent times the focus has become less on sort of computing and creativity and more on the actual computer science as a specific focus.
The foundational elements are always going to be the same. We're only talking about the differences if you consider the actual computer science departments at a degree level. If you are talking about helping complete beginners to learn the basics, help the country as a whole to be more competitive on the international arena, then I'm all for introducing more, STEM topics, more computer science material into the education system at all levels. But going back to your original question, when it comes to employability, if you want to learn to code and get a job as a software developer, you don't need 3 years and a computer science degree. You need a few months and a lot of hard work.
So what's the ratio between those people that finish a Makers Academy course and then going on to be recruited and that kind of thing?
Almost everyone who wants to get a job gets a job within 3 months of graduation.
And there's something quite special that you do here, isn't there, when they actually finally get that job?
Yes, we sound a gong. We have a massive gong in the office, and every time a student signs an offer, someone on the team or that student themselves come to the office and hit the gong, so it's literally felt, the vibration is felt throughout the entire building.
I love that. What's interesting is, so if I was, suppose I was a vice dean at one of the leading universities that has enjoyed prestigious reputation for the last, I don't know, however, hundreds of years, should I be worried about organisations like Makers Academy and what that means for me, or is there opportunity to collaborate, or what's the outcome of all of this?
I expect universities to focus more on research and less on vocational skills. What universities and specifically computer science departments are doing is not wrong per se. They're doing a really good job of creating computer science graduates. The problem is that there is a mismatch between that and the demand for vocational practical skills from the market. So it's not that they are doing a good job. It's that there is in the last 10-15 years, the industry experienced very significant growth in demand for software developers, and computer science departments were not ready to fulfill it.
So is that why, you know, you have these fast learning, ambitious types like your Bill Gates, your Steve Jobs? There is a trend of people dropping out of universities once they kind of have got going to that extent, isn't there?
Speaking of entrepreneurial types, we have a significant proportion, probably around a quarter of students on the course, who don't want to get a career as a software developer. They come to us because they want to learn to code, to start their own startup, to build their own technical team, build their own products. And we've seen many success stories. People graduate, learn to code, build a product, raise money, get customers, and build successful companies.
And obviously, we were talking before, and you know, your model is different to some others in that, you know, you're not focused on a physical campus here. Like, obviously, you have a beautiful a beautiful campus here with about 30 students?
About 60.
60, sorry.
At any one time, yes.
Yeah, but also you have a far greater amount that are accessing the courses online and internationally. So what was the decision making around being based in London and specifically here in East London as well?
The reason we started in East London is because we wanted to be close to the tech community. We found 3 years ago, we found an office next to the Silicon Roundabout in the City Road. In City Road, because that's where our hiring partners were. We are operating out of London because it's the tech hub in Europe right now. There is, and 3 years ago, it was not challenged at all by Berlin. Right now, it is a little bit. But 3 years ago, London was the only place. We are operating, we've got students from all over Europe and sometimes as far as Australia or the States studying remotely with us. So we run our intensive 12-week full-time course in a virtual environment.
In terms of helping educators, so obviously we're talking about teachers getting to grips with having to teach computing at, you know, primary school level. Does Makers Academy do any kind of outreach with schools?
Unfortunately, not as much as we could or should be doing to help that community. I'm really familiar with the problem that is out there. There are lots of teachers, and they really want to be better prepared to teach computing to school children. Unfortunately, what I've seen happening more than once is some teachers from schools coming to us in order to leave school and become software developers. So we are kind of training them to become professional software developers instead of applying their skills at schools.
Okay, so perhaps that remains a financial remuneration issue.
more than anything else, because there is a great demand for software developers, and with the average salary of our graduates being above 30K and growing quickly with experience, there is a very strong financial incentive to become a software developer.
Yeah. So this week, I believe, Lord Baker released a report called The Digital Revolution. I'm not sure if you saw that one.
Unfortunately, no, not yet.
No, I'm sure it's it was quickly through the Twitter feed and out the other end. But that was about the importance to develop digital skills to guard against job losses through automation. So within this report, it states that basically 15 million jobs are at risk of automation. So upskilling in terms of digital skills is very important. Other people have stated that, you know, with automation, it's actually the sort of creative skills that will remain those that you can't automate. So human creativity. What's your opinion on, you know, coding? You know, is that essential? And also, is coding mutually exclusive to creativity, or do the two go hand in hand?
It's not. They go hand in hand, and it's actually one of the biggest misconceptions that exists about coding is that it's not a creative job. It is a creative job. It's coding is. Empower software developers to create things that never existed before. I completely agree with what you've said is the main finding of the report. That's a great many jobs will be automated in the near future. Absolutely. But in order to stay relevant in the process, in order to drive this change, people need to understand how the modern digital world works. And of course, when more and more jobs get automated, people who have creative skills or soft skills or management skills that are really difficult to automate will be in demand. But if the very same people really understand the digital world, can build software and can work with other people who create software, this will ultimately be the winning combination. The best results we see when we talk to our graduates is when they combine their experience from other careers, from what they've been doing previously, and their newly acquired coding skills. Because someone who can code and do something else on top of that can be a winning combination.
So when I come in the office here, you know, there's a real sense of the kind of culture behind Makers Academy. So there was a real buzz in the office. People aren't coding in silence, looking really grey and miserable. It's actually really fun and, you know, engaging. And I noticed, well, there's, you know, there's always the sound of like ping pong tables in these places. Mm-hmm. That's like, that's a must have.
Yep.
But you know, there were games consoles and sort of tea making area
And guitars and Nerf guitars, guns.
I think Nerf guns and a hammer, piano, I think I saw.
Two on different floors.
So is that all you? And if it is, like, what type of person are you for people trying to understand the personalities behind EdTech? Through this podcast, what do you love? What do you hate?
I'm the most boring person in this building. Seriously,
I don't believe it.
I don't play guitar. I'm rubbish at ping pong and so on. But everyone else absolutely loves it. And we basically we try to really challenge existing conventions on how the office or work environment should be. Really, should it be boring? Really, should it be official looking? And should we really act like grown-ups? Well, maybe not. And also, we are trying to build an environment which is as close to a tech company in London today as possible, because we are preparing people to our students to enter the world of work. And we are trying to run our office like we would run a tech company if we were running, let's say, an agency. That's why when you walk into the office, it doesn't even look like school. It probably looks like a tech company.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And on that front, what's the kind of average age or demographic of your students here?
The average age is 27 or so. The vast majority of students, approximately three quarters, have a university degree, but one quarter doesn't have one. Most people come to us to switch careers and become software developers, but approximately one quarter of the students want to learn to code to build their own tech company.
And what about a gender split as well?
It's something which is really, really important to us, and we're working hard to make it as close to 50-50 as possible. On average, it's about 30 to 70, but sometimes in some classes, it goes as high as 40%.
And how are you working to potentially change that? So, you know, it's a tricky one, isn't it, in terms of making sure people... Do you approach you?
It's a tricky one. We've been trying to do many things. We are working with other organizations that are trying to promote diversity in the workplace, in the industry. We are talking to students about it. Just like last week, we've done a long presentation on why diversity in the industry is an issue, why it's happening, why it's a problem, what can we do to fix it, and so on. And we also provide a small incentive to female applicants. We give a £500 discount to female students.
Okay, that's worth knowing. And I know that Will, who works here, I believe, is associated with Tech London Advocates.
Yes, that's correct.
And they have like a women's working group within their advisory board, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So always, I suppose that's another mechanism to get that message out there.
And also, I can't give you all the details right now because it's not fully signed yet, but we're working with a major tech company to do something which is going to bring significantly more female students to Makers Academy, into the industry in general. We're really behind the scenes, we're trying really hard to figure out what can be done. So hopefully I will be able to announce it in the next few weeks.
Okay, that's excellent. So I'd quite like to do another podcast on that so I can get the scoop. But no, it's something I'm really passionate about. So where I used to work, I set up the Women's Network, and I think, you know, now we have Women Ed, which is like one of the Twitter groups around this. And I know at Web Summit, they had this big campaign to get 10,000 women through their doors as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think so I'm intrigued to find out more about that one. So Before we started recording, you mentioned a very funny story about perhaps the fear factor kicking in when people don't understand technology and someone coming into the office. Wait, do you care to share that
one? Oh, yeah, absolutely. a few weeks ago, we had a visitor to the office, a relative of one of our students, who never been in touch with us before. She just came out of the blue to talk to us, and she was really, really unhappy about her relative to being our student studying at Makers Academy. She didn't think that coding was a worthwhile thing to do, and she just objected to what we were doing at Makers Academy. It was an interesting event.
And the reason was because, essentially... Mm-hmm. As a result, that person wasn't getting enough fresh air, basically. It was the bottom line. Is it something like that?
Well, yeah. Kind of the tagline was that people should be surfing and not coding.
I mean, I'm all up for surfing, but, mm-hmm. You can always code when you're back on dry land, I suppose. Yep. But it is quite interesting because mm-hmm. it does sort of, highlight this, I suppose, concept, like a perception that coding is, people in dark rooms that, are not very happy.
Which couldn't be farther from the truth. Yeah. Really, walk into any modern tech company, you will see people collaborating, yeah. talking, solving creative problems, and they're working together. The stereotype of a software developer as the single person sitting in a dark corner without any social skills and just typing something in the computer, it's really a stereotype.
Yeah.
As I always tell our students, most of the work of a software developer happens in their head, happens during conversations mm-hmm. with other developers, with other people. And maybe 10 or 20% is actually typing code into the computer. It's really the end result, the only visible outcome of the process.
So this is really good. So hopefully all the educators that are out there can use this conversation mm-hmm. to help communicate that message to concerned parents or mm-hmm. Those that don't perhaps even within their own schools mm-hmm. or higher education institutions that don't mm-hmm. really understand that. So
and I would really invite everyone who would like to find out what coding really is like to get in touch with any tech company or Makers Academy or anyone who employs software developers and just come to their office and see what it looks like in real life. I promise you it's anything but boring.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that based on this experience. So as someone who's sort of at the heart of EdTech, where do you get your information from? Like, what do you follow or what do you read to kind of keep abreast of what's going on as well?
I try to talk to other people I know and respect and get their opinion and figure out what they think about it. I occasionally skim Twitter, but not too much, purely because it's really, really distracting. I rely on a number of newsletters. And speaking of EdTech, EdSearch newsletter is one of examples of high quality material.
They have a podcast as well, don't they?
They've got a podcast, but unfortunately I'm not listening to it. I do listen to a few podcasts, but not that one. It all boils down to network. I'm talking to other people, to other founders of EdTech companies, and trying to be sure I stay in the loop.
And for you and for Makers Academy, what's next?
Next, we are growing our remote course. We are trying to make as affordable and as easy for anyone in the world to become employable as a software developer. And of course, we're helping them to get a job where they live. We've been doing a really, really good job in London in the last 3 years. And now we're expanding all over Europe, helping people find jobs in Belgium, in France, in Spain, and in other cities in the UK.
That's all for this week.